Numbers chapter number 22 and verse number 31. The Bible says, "Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face." I want to take as my text those first few words of verse number 31. "Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. I preached on this subject, and yet recently I've gone through background material, you might say, in dealing with the book of 2 Peter and the error of Balaam, the way of Balaam. This is the kind of message that it can take a while to build the background, to lay the foundation, to go on and preach the message. And so since I've been dealing with that, the Lord willing, I'll go ahead and be dealing. In fact, just very simply, it seemed as though that's the way the Lord was leading me to deal with this subject, the mercy of God. I preached on this back, Ben was a baby, and of course he's not a baby no longer, but he was a baby back then. Got his own baby now, his own child. But years ago when Ben was a baby, I preached on this. And the host pastor, after I was through, he said something like, "When you're partway through, I wish you'd get down. Let me finish the message." And I don't think he's being negative, but I think he began to see this picture. And I want to deal with that subject, the mercy of God. Now, as far as the mercy of God is concerned, we might consider, first of all, the eternal mercy of God. Repeatedly in Psalm 136, the Bible states, "His mercy endureth forever." Now, there was a time when I experienced the temporary mercy of God and thanked the Lord for the temporary mercy of God, but I got saved, and I've given my testimony over and over, but I got saved, and at the point that I got saved, I experienced the eternal mercy of God, and I can put my assurance in the fact of the eternal mercy of God based upon the fact of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the eternal mercy of God. Now, as far as the temporary mercy of God, we might consider the mercy of God on this side of eternity during this brief span of life that is extended to men and women. And during that time, men and women have opportunities to be saved. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. During that time, so often God is dealing with a man, dealing with a woman to bring them to Christ and extending to them the temporary mercy of God. Now that scripture I refer to, 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, the mercy of God is the reason why God doesn't give us the punishment that we do deserve. And we all deserve punishment. But because of the mercy of God, we don't receive the punishment that we do deserve. But then the grace of God is the unmerited favor of God, whereby He gives us blessings that we do not deserve. And thank the Lord for that combination of the mercy and the grace of God. I don't receive the punishment I do deserve, but I do receive blessings that I don't deserve. Now, the mercy of God is the foundation for the grace of God. Now, God greatly blesses men. And yet, if God did not give His mercy to men, how would they enjoy the blessings of God? A person could receive much blessing from God, and yet receive many things he doesn't deserve, and yet if the person is not extended the mercy of God, then that could be like loading great riches upon a sinking ship. Now thank the Lord, God has extended to me not only His grace, but also His mercy. In Mark chapter number 8, verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" What shall it profit a man if God is so gracious to the man that He gives him the whole world and He does not extend that mercy to him whereby he loses his own soul and all those gracious gifts of God? And so we might say that the mercy of God is the foundation for the grace of God, or the mercy of God is the seedbed for the grace of God. God's graciousness springs forth from His merciful heart. God gives us the flower and the fruit of the graciousness of God. And thank the Lord for the fact that there is that seedbed of the mercy of God for the grace of God to spring forth from. We may speak of God's amazing grace, but let us also recognize the amazing mercy of God. The amazing mercy of God. You and I ought to be amazed at the mercy of God. And yet I think so often men are not amazed at the mercy of God, but instead take a much different view. Now, as far as my text is concerned, we might consider the setting of the text. Earlier the Bible speaks about Moab. Moab, a nation. Moab, a people. Moab was sore afraid of Israel. Moab was distressed because of Israel. And Balak, the king of Moab, sent to Balaam to curse the nation of Israel. He sent the messengers to Balaam, but God spake to Balaam and said, "Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." And the Bible says that Balaam sent the messengers away. Now that's in verse number 12. In verse number 12, we have the perfect will of God in this matter. The perfect will of God in this matter was, "Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people." But Balak, the king of Moab, sent more messengers and more honorable. And notice, if you will, chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, "And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more." What an answer. God had revealed His perfect will to Balaam. Balaam had sent the messengers away. And, of course, He also gave this answer when more messengers were sent. But notice the very next verse, the Bible says, "Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." Now he already had the perfect will of God, but he called on them to tarry so that he could find out what the Lord would say more. Sometimes when more temptation comes, after we receive the settled Word of God, but more temptation comes. Sometimes when it seems as though there's a possibility of getting more benefit from following a temptation, then a person may decide, "Well, let me go back to God and see what He has to say more." When a person is wanting to do something, when a sinner is in pursuit of sin, even if he knows the will of God in the matter, he may take that attitude, "Let me see what God has to say more." And so as a result of that, he may study the Word of God,
He may talk to other people in order to try to get permission from God to do what he knows that God has forbade him to do in his perfect will. And so Balaam, he called on the people to wait and let him find out what the Lord would say unto him more. In verse number 12, we have the perfect will of God for him. Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people. But then notice verse number 20. The Bible says, and God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Now here we have the permissive will of God. It's like a parent that answers a petulant child that has over and over again wanted to have his way in a matter. Let's say a child has come to the parent. The parent has given a very clear-cut answer. This is what you're supposed to do. Either thou shalt do this or thou shalt not do this. But the parent has given a very clear answer. And the pouting, petulant child goes back to the parent and asks the parent again and again about doing what he wants to do with his heart and his mindset to do what he wants to do. This was a man who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Well, imagine a parent in a case like that finally saying, I told you, but go ahead. I told you not to do that. And a parent sometimes may know that there are going to be consequences, but in the case of a parent, if the parent knows that the consequences are not going to be too severe, the parent may tell the child, well, go ahead. I told you not to, but go ahead. And here the Lord gave his permissive will to Balaam to go with the people. And so Balaam went with those messengers. The Lord knew best. The Lord had stated his perfect will, but he still allowed Balaam to go. Now, in this illustration of the mercy of God, we might consider four main characters. First of all, there is God Himself, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Provider, the Self-Existent, the Self-Sufficient, the Almighty, the Always Right, the Final Authority on all things. God Himself. Then secondly, we might consider Balaam, representing a sinner, in 2 Peter 2, 15 and 16, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. In the book of Jude 11, the Bible says, they have ran greedily after the error of Balaam. Sometimes a person, a sinner, may be so set on sin, it's as though that he's crazy, he is mad, he wants to do what he wants to do, despite the Word of God, despite the good reasoning that he's presented with, he still wants to do what he wants to do. It's very clear. In fact, can all of us testify that God has let us do things in our lifetimes? God has let us do things that weren't good for us, but He's allowed us to do them. And here's a case where God allowed this man to go. We might consider the angel of the Lord, the third character, a representative of or an illustration of the wrath of God.
In the book of Numbers, chapter number 22 and verse 22, the Bible says, "The angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him." For an adversary against him. The angel of the Lord, a representative of the wrath of God, and the Bible says in the book of Psalms, Psalm 7, verse 11, "God is angry with the wicked every day." John 3:36, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." That is true for every man that is a sinner, Christ rejecter. God is angry with the wicked every day. The wrath of God abides upon them every day. And except it were for the mercy of God extended to them, they would suffer the punishment, the wrath of God. But thank God for His mercy. And so we come to the next character. The ass, as strange as it may seem, the ass as a picture of the way sinners view the mercy of God. What if Balaam had described that animal? He might have said the animal is small and dumb and unattractive and stubborn and hard to control. But you watch this animal in this account steering this man away from the wrath of God. If you and I look back with spiritual eyes, those of us that are saved by the grace of God in our own lives, we may see over and over again that perhaps things we didn't like, things that we would have rejected or avoided, that God was through them steering us away from the wrath of God. Now, I want to consider a few points. First of all, God's mercy never lags behind the wrath of God in the life of a sinner. If it did, he'd be snuffed out. Notice, if you will, verses 21 and 22. The Bible says there, "And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass and his two servants with him." It's interesting that he rose up in the morning. He saddled that ass. The anger of the Lord was kindled against him. He was riding that ass, a picture of the mercy of God. In Psalm 58 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Psalm 51 verse 5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." The anger of God, the wrath of God, hangs over men like a dark cloud ready to burst upon them. The wrath of God is pointed at sinners like a piercing arrow, a sharp arrow that is drawn. The anger of God is directed toward the sinner, but thank the Lord that the mercy of God is there. And the very fact that I lived for so long before I got saved is an evidence that the mercy of God was there all along. How many of us rode the mercy of God
Rode the mercy of God, rode her hard and put her up wet. Rode her, rode her, rode her. Until finally, God saved our souls and extended to us the eternal mercy of God. I was a sinner by birth. I was a sinner by choice. I was a sinner by conception. I did what was natural for me to do. There's the old story, and I don't know how many variations there are, but there was an old story, a make-believe fable-type story, but along the line, that there was a frog and a scorpion. And the frog said to the scorpion, I'll give you a ride across the river if you don't sting me. And so the scorpion began to give the frog began to give the scorpion a ride across the river. They got partway across. The scorpion stung the frog, and there they were both drowning. And the frog said, why did you do that? He said, it's just my nature. And I was living in accordance with my nature. For years, I was living in accordance with my nature. And thank God, the mercy of God was there. And because of that, I was spared till I finally came to that point of salvation. Born a sinner, lived a sinner, but mercy carried me. I lived, I breathed, I had my being, I laid in the lap of sin. But God's mercy was there. Did not lag behind. Number two, God's mercy steers men away from God's wrath. Notice verses 23 and 24. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. I notice the Bible speaks about the fact that the ass saw the angel of the Lord. It was the ass that saw the angel of the Lord in the way. It was the ass that turned aside. Thank the Lord. God's mercy steers men away from God's wrath. And sometimes he turns them into a field. A field. Now imagine the ass turning into a field where it wasn't where Balaam wanted to go, but still he turned them into the field and there's plenty of room. And sometimes God, in his mercy, turns a man into a field. Let's say a field of opportunity. And let's say in that field of opportunity, he has many opportunities to come to Christ. He has many opportunities to hear the Word of God. He has many opportunities to repent. Sometimes God turns a man into a field of opportunity. And somebody here might say, well, I went for years and never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. That does not mean you didn't have the opportunity to. I was preaching a while back so many times, sinners are not striving, seeking. So many times, sinners are not looking for the truth when they know they're not right. But sometimes God turns a man, in his mercy, turns a man into a field of opportunity, a field of good health, both physical and mental. How many of you? How many of you live for years? Good health and good ability to understand the gospel. Much opportunity. Much ability. How many of you live for years and you knew there was a Bible but you didn't go read it? And you knew there were churches but you didn't go visit them? You knew that there was truth but you didn't seek it out? How many men have gone for years turned into the field of opportunity, the field of good health, physical and mental, the field of time. There's the old song, plenty of time. And sometimes a person may live for years, even up 80s, 90s, without turning to Christ. And the mercy of God carry him, and carry him all the way to the end of those many years in rebellion against God. But I want you to notice as well that sometimes the mercy of God crushes the sinner. The Bible says the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, verse 24, wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And then verse 25, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Now, sometimes God may allow the sinner to be crushed in some sense, attempting to get his attention, attempting to turn him to himself. God may cause a man to be crushed in some way. God may allow a man to be crushed physically, you might say, some accident, something happened in his life physically to give him the opportunity to turn to Christ. God may allow something to come into his life that crushes him emotionally. God may allow something that comes in to crush him financially. God may allow something to come into his life that crushes him mentally. He may come to the end of his rope, so to speak, and not know what to do in his situation, where over and over the mercy of God is trying to get away from steering the man away from the wrath of God. And yet, he still smote the animal that was turning him away from the angel of the Lord. And people, sometimes a sinner, he may get cancer and have the attitude, why did this happen to me? He may get in a car accident and be hurt physically, and he should on his back be looking up to God, but instead have the attitude, it's not fair. This shouldn't happen to me. And people may go through hardships, relationship problems, and not look to God, not turn to God, but instead they may steal in rebellion, ride the mercy of God in their rebellion against God. Sometimes the mercy of God turns a man into a field of opportunities. Sometimes He crushes the sinner in some way. And imagine that ass crushing Balaam's foot against the wall. It seemed as though it was an act of desperation. There wasn't but so much room. And so to get away from the angel of the Lord thrusting his foot against the wall and crushing it. God so much wants to extend his eternal mercy to sinners. God so much wants to do it. Sometimes he even allows a man to be crushed in some way to get him to turn. But then again, the mercy of God, this temporary mercy of God, will only carry a man so far. Verses 26 and 27. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. The mercy of God will only carry a man so far. In fact, I want you to consider the choices a sinner that has been living in rebellion has. We might consider, first of all, the the choice of continuing on in rebellion. The mercy of God, you might say, fell out from under Balaam. Now, what if Balaam had decided, I don't care what the animal does, I'm going to just keep on going. You keep on in rebellion, and you'll meet the wrath of God. And so many people have kept on in rebellion, and finally the mercy of God fell out from under them. And they kept on in their rebellion and met God and met their end and met their damnation. Here's another choice. Reformation. This idea of turning to the left or the right. Sometimes a sinner tries to turn to the left or the right. Sometimes a man may be living his life in rebellion against God, and he may turn to the left or the right, and it might extend his life for a while. If a man, let's say, he's going down a road to hell in a hurry. He's drinking his way to his death. He's drugging his way to his death. He may be headed down the road to hell in a hurry. And yet, it might be he makes some changes in his life. And maybe he lives for a little while longer. But if you turn to the right or the left, you'll meet the wrath of God. The wrath of God will be there. It won't be that by stopping drinking, stopping cussing, stopping this, stopping that. It's not that just by stopping some things, cleaning up your life a little bit, some reformation, that everything will be okay. And one of these days, you'll meet the wrath of God. Down the road somewhere, you'll meet the wrath of God. There's one proper choice, and that is repentance. Rebellion and going straight ahead is certainly not the answer. Turning to the right or the left is not the answer. Turning around, turning to God, turning in repentance, that's the one right answer. That's the one way that you can have the eternal mercy of God extended to you, is turning from sin to Christ as the only Lord and Savior. The mercy of God will only carry you so far. And then, the mercy of God is terribly abused by sinners. Beginning in verse 28, the Bible says, "And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay." I believe that this is going to be a source of perhaps wonder and ridicule for years. To think that a man would get in a conversation with the animal, that the animal would ask him a question and he would respond. It doesn't seem that he showed surprise. It doesn't seem that he was astounded. But he had a conversation with that animal. And I believe it is an evidence of the madness of the prophet. He was so set on sin. He was crazy, set on his sin. Now, I believe that Balaam didn't want to die. I wonder he wasn't after dying, but I believe he wanted the reward of unrighteousness And that's what he was stubbornly set out to get. The mercy of God is terribly abused by sinners. He beat the animal. He used a staff on the animal, smote the animal with a staff, and even spoke as though if he'd had a sword, he would have killed the animal. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of mercy. Look at what men did to him. He was a well of mercy. He was mercy manifest. He was mercy magnified. The blood drops of Jesus Christ crucified were mercy drops. And Jesus Christ, the embodiment of mercy, died upon that cross. His blood was shed, and I believe he took his own blood as the great high priest. He took the blood from the one supreme, the only sufficient sacrificial lamb, took his own blood to the mercy seat in heaven, and applied his own blood on the mercy seat. Look at how men have treated and do treat Jesus. Men have terribly abused the mercy of God. There's the gospel, which is the message of mercy. Now you can go door to door and try to take the message of mercy to people. You can try to tell people the danger they're in, the fact that God wants to save them, and be rejected over and over and over again. And people strike out at you because you have that message of mercy. They don't want that message of mercy. And then there's the Bible, the book of mercy. And thank the Lord that from Genesis to Revelation, even though it does present the wrath of God, there is, as it might be said, a scarlet thread of mercy that runs all the way through the book. Mercy, mercy, mercy. And then we have the good preachers and witnesses that are the heralds of mercy. Hebrews 11:36-38. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. You can read it in the book of Acts. Of course, you can read in other places, but you can read it in the book of Acts. The mistreatment of the messengers of mercy. If you go out and you try to spread the gospel, you may receive ridicule, scoffing, mocking as a messenger of mercy. The mercy of God has been so terribly abused. The world is not worthy of the mercy of God. And yet God keeps extending it, offering it to men. And then there's God's good churches, the houses of mercy. That's what God, that should be a theme of our churches, is mercy, mercy. We want to see sinners come to Christ. We want to see people get right with God. It's not the letting down. It's not the backing off of the truth, but still, we should be merciful. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 9, and beginning with verse number 10, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I come not For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the churches should be houses of mercy. Houses where we hold the standard high, but at the same time, we are open for sinners to come and get right with the Lord. And then, the good Christian songs, good Christian songs. There's so many good Christian songs about the mercy of God. Love lifted me. Amazing grace, there's power in the blood. I kneel at the cross at Calvary. The way of the cross leads home. We just go through song after song. The mercy of God extended to men. The mercy of God testified about by men. And then as well, consider how God has, or how men have abused good Christian songs. You may hear people make fun of and misuse good Christian songs. You may hear people that make fun of good churches that really do express the mercy of God and so on. In so many ways, God has expressed, give evidence through songs, churches, witnesses, good preachers. God has shown evidence He wants to be merciful. But men are so abusive of the mercy of God. And then last of all, God's mercy can only be seen by sinful men if God opens their eyes. In verse 31, beginning there, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thou weighest perverse before me. Now notice verse 33. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. The mercy of God. The mercy of God. Sometimes a person, they get saved, realize that the wrath of God is abiding on him, realize that there's hell before him, and turn to Christ. But even then, be coming to a realization, and more it may dawn upon him, God's been merciful to me. And those of us that have been saved by years may look back at our lives and see, God was merciful to me. I could have died there. I could have went into eternity there. I had the opportunity to trust the Lord there. And yet we may also see that over and over and over again, we abused the precious, sweet mercy of God. I thank the Lord for anyone that does not just turn to the left or the right, not going in rebellion, but for anyone that turns from sin to Christ. God gives eternal mercy. I thank the Lord that now, I can testify of my eternal destiny. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of going to hell. Well, Brother Raymond Sorrells, I think he may have preached a message one time, you can't get there from here. As far as hell is concerned, I can't get there from here. I'm under the blood. I'm in Christ. I'm in the body of Christ, part of the body of Christ. I can't go to hell from where I'm at. I'm not concerned about going to hell. I thank God
that I can bank on the eternal mercy of God. But I went for years without it. And I went for years where God could have snuffed out my life and I could have went to hell. Thank the Lord, He let me ride mercy. And ride mercy. Even abusive, let me ride mercy. Until I finally came to the point of a new birth. If you will, please stand.